from KQED.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Cuevas, and this is the California Report. Everyone probably knows by now how bad life's been for the people living downwind of that stinky natural gas leak in Porter Ranch, north of L.A. Well, yesterday it got a whole lot worse for the company responsible. Legal trouble. Criminal charges filed by the L.A. County District Attorney that accused a Southern California gas company of not moving fast enough to alert state authorities of the leak. That's on top of what's believed to be the first wrongful death lawsuit related to the disaster. Relatives of a 79-year-old resident claim the gas leak worsened the Porter Ranch woman's already frail health. Meanwhile, SoCalGas says it's working hard to stop the leak and the foul odors associated with it. With recent rainstorms drenching much of the state, you might think talk of water conservation is so 2015. Not so much, apparently. Yesterday, California regulators voted to keep mandatory conservation rules in place well into the new year. And as KQED science reporter Lauren Summer explains, some water districts are already way behind in savings.
The drought has changed the way water districts do business. Sure, they deliver water, but now they do Facebook and Twitter.
We've expanded to social media, realizing that's where a lot of people get their information from.
Don Zadeva manages the Indian Wells Valley Water District, which has had to ramp up its public outreach and conservation programs. The district should be saving 36%, but it's falling short at only 24%.
It's been challenging for us. We're located in the Mojave Desert, so we have a pretty difficult climate during the summertime.
Meeting the targets through October will be even tougher, Zadeva says, which is why several water districts lobbied state officials for some leeway. And many will get some, up to 8% off their goals if they're in a hot climate or doing water recycling. Not everyone wanted to see that wiggle room.
You know, I think that we've made so much progress that Californians have stepped up.
Sarah Amanzada is with California Coast Keeper Alliance.
And I think that there's a real danger that if we start to back off that now, we lose some of the ground we really covered this year in terms of, you know, the Keep Saving California message.
Water officials say they'll take another look at the conservation rules in April when they'll know if El Nino delivered or not. For the California Report, I'm Lauren Summer.
A couple years ago in the Central Valley, almonds became the thing. A hot cash crop that farmers could really bank on. Acres of trees rose up across the region, sometimes even pushing out less lucrative crops. But the almond business blew up so big, so fast, that some industry watchers wonder if all the growth is sustainable. Here's more from Valley Public Radio's Ezra David Romero.
Last year, almonds were called out for drinking too much water, while at the same time farmers were making bank on the tree crop. But recently, almonds have slowly been losing value. Vernon Crowder is with Rabobank, which lends money to farmers in Fresno. How far has the price dropped?
Probably about 20%, maybe just a little bit more since late 2014.
2014 was the year that almond prices spiked to $4 per pound. At that point, farmers went crazy. Many replaced their lower-priced crops, like grapes or cotton, with fields of almonds. That flooded the market, and the price dropped to around $3 per pound. The real kicker was the strength of the dollar in 2015. It began to cost more for places like China and India to buy almonds.
We probably pushed the price up too high. People at certain points, they just don't buy.
That's Darren Rigg. He handles over 50 million pounds of nuts with Meridian growers in the Central Valley. He says over-reliance on markets with shaky finances are to blame.
The whole entire industry has dealt with a lot of defaults out of India and Dubai. Guys going out of business, some of them just packing up shop and running off to the Himalayas.
Even with the price decrease, though, some growers are still bringing in more than they were making 5 years ago. Farmer Joe Del Bosque in Firebaugh says he hasn't felt the pinch yet.
Having a couple of good years has given us a good foundation to be able to weather this thing.
But this is all a balancing act with a strong variable called Mother Nature. Too much rain from El Nino storms could either result in a larger, cheaper crop or knock too many flowers off trees during bloom time, resulting in a smaller, more expensive crop. For the California Report, I'm Ezra David Romero in Fresno.
Talk about tampons and taxes might make you uncomfortable, but KQED's politics and government reporter Katie Orr says a California lawmaker believes it's time we have the discussion.
Tampons and maxi pads might not be the biggest monthly expense women face. Assemblymember Christina Garcia says it averages about $7. But the Los Angeles area Democrat says those costs can add up, especially for low-income women. That's one of the reasons Garcia has written a bill that would exempt tampons and pads from sales tax.
Individually, it might not be a lot, but it's also how do we start to make this more affordable and lead a discussion. I talked to a young woman yesterday who was telling me she has to use socks when she can't afford any of these products.
Garcia says the bill would cost California more than $20 million a year. But she says it's not fair that women are taxed on such an essential product. And she says her bill raises larger issues of the gender dynamics in politics.
If we think about who has been passing laws and regulations in these institutions of power, they've been governed by men, and so they haven't thought about it. So maybe if a man got his period, yeah, we would have had this discussion sooner.
But Garcia is quick to point out several of her male colleagues have signed on as co-authors to the bill. USC public policy professor Sherry Bebich Jeffy says that's a smart move, since the measure would appeal to half of the state's population.
Politically, I'm not seeing a downside at this point for either Democrats or Republicans.
California is not the only place considering the issue. Canada recently repealed its so-called tampon tax, but efforts to roll back taxes in France and the United Kingdom failed last year. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, February 3rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. From KQED's LA Bureau, I'm Stephen Cuevas. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Robotham International, providing strategic tax, accounting, and business advisory services to global families, entrepreneurs, and venture-backed companies. Robotham.com. Bayer, committed to the Bay Area, the next generation of scientists, and its global patient community. Bayer, science for a better life. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.